Welcome to the Tripod. This is the NFL 2023 season preview. That's right, NFL, not NRL. We will talk a bit of Broncos, Panthers, Raiders, but the American football variety tonight. So that's why I've called in a man who can talk pigskin like no other. His tips are steady. He's always ready. It's Neddy from Neddy Given Sunday. How are you, mate? And happy Father's Day.
Thank you, dudes. First one for the evening. Happy to be back, ready to come out of the cave and rip in. And of course, happy birthday to all the dads for yesterday. I hope everyone had an awesome day. My son had an absolute meltdown and ruined my day, but that's what being a dad is. Hey,
that's what it's like, mate. It's never a dull moment. Kind of like the NFL season, which kicks off with the Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, on Friday, Aussie time, and then a full week one slate will be in the books in 7 days from now. So I love the NFL. I'm a massive fan, but you're completely dedicated. You're barely even aware of NRL. You just go into hibernation and you come out right around now. Actually, you've been putting in a bit of work, even NFL preseason. You're going to share some tips you've maybe already given out along the way and anything else you like as it stands right now. We're going to go division by division so we get a chance to hear your take on kind of any teams, positive or negative. We'll do a bit of player prop stuff and all the different awards that you can bet on. We've got some custom bets people can follow. I've been in the lab today. You've cooked one up as well. We've got some cameo clips that are going to come in with some insight too. And then, of course, you know, Super Bowl MVP to wrap it. So, and Barney says, what a dud opener. Not a Chiefs fan. And I think Barney's kind of out of hibernation. He was in a dark place after the Super Bowl. It ended on that controversial flag. But we're going to start on a positive note. So let's just jump straight in, mate. I'll bring up the graphic that I had before and you take us away. Like, what angle are you seeing the NFC East from?
The NFC East pretty much runs the whole NFC as a whole. And I think, and we're going to get into it a lot more later as well with MVP bets and all that sort of thing. But in my mind, for the whole NFC, it is really down to Philadelphia. It is down to the Dallas Cowboys and it is down to the San Francisco 49ers as potential people that could really ruin things. Eagles, of course, are a juggernaut. I do have reservations about the Dallas Cowboys at the moment because McCarthy is taking over full play calling responsibilities. And although he is pass heavy at the start of games, the reason he sort of got chased out of Green Bay is because he started leaning more towards the run, which, as we know, is not really a success for winning football games. So for this division, I would still lean Philadelphia Eagles there, but I think there's some other avenues that we could sort of attack the Dallas Cowboys to have a bit more of a fun future involved there. But my own personal feeling, I will say Philadelphia Eagles there.
And appreciate the comments are coming through. Keep them coming. I can see Maddie O'Keefe, the Undertaker's in the chat. I'm actually going to throw straight to Maddie because he has, it's a player award bet, but it's a player who plays in this division. So why don't we have a listen right now?
Hey guys, my favourite bet in the player awards markets would be Micah Parsons, Defensive Player of the Year. I was at $7 when I made the video, but now I see it's $6, but it's $6 on double. It's there on Bluebet and on Bet365, the $6 play there, which I quite like. I think anything over $5 is pretty good. But Defensive Player of the Year, it's not about who makes the most tackles or the most sacks. It's a reputation award. Parsons was seen probably as the best player last year before injuries on the Dallas defensive front there forced him to play out of position off the edge where he was doing so much damage. But he plays his first five games. He's got he plays the Giants with the 29th ranked defensive line, the Jets at 23, the Cardinals at 31, Patriots at 13, and San Francisco at 18. So he's not playing any good offensive lines. He can get off to a hot start, and I think the price can only go down on that schedule. On top of that, I do like Dallas to go over their win total, 9.5. So that's a bonus play if you like. But the point being, I think Dallas are going to win a lot of games, and I think Parsons is going to have a huge year. Defensive Player of the Year, $6. Good luck, everyone. Have a good season.
Now, there's a bit of an echo there. The Undertaker recording from the hospital, Undertaker Jr., he had to go in there on Father's Day of all days. So we send our thoughts and wishes with Undertaker Jr. there. But obviously, Maddie's still able to share a value tip. I'll get your thoughts maybe on Defensive Player of the Year later. Neddy, let's just keep rolling through divisions. But I wanted to get Maddie's video there because he also just talks about liking the Cowboys as you do. The graphic will determine where we go next. And next, we will be going to the North, the NFC North, where one of the hype teams of the season has to be the Detroit Lions, who are the favorites. How do you see this one, though?
I actually don't mind the Packers in this one, which is a bit crazy. They had pretty good output from the O-line last year, and that was with Bakhtiari out. They've got all five of their starters coming back. They've got an easy schedule of opposing pass rushes to start the season. They've got a week six bye, which is good for Jordan Love, of course, who's still learning the offense. We know everything about the Vikings last year, about they just kept seemed to coming up in these one-score games and just these miracle wins. You cannot account for that. And although it seems like they had a really awesome season last year, they actually didn't. Like, Kirk Cousins was down. It was his worst completion percentage in the season, worst yards per attempt, worst TD percentage, worst passing without pressure, worst passing from the pocket. Yes, he had that rib injury, which we all know, but they get a little bit older, they get a little bit more antsy. And when I look at Detroit, like, yes, they were a good sort of story as well last year. They took advantage of weak opponents. When they come up against teams with a winning record last year, they actually went 3-6. So I actually don't mind the Packers for a bit of a sneaky one here. I've sort of tossed it into a dabble multi that I've posted, if you follow me on that one. It's just a good bit of bang for your buck. Everyone's obviously big on the Chicago Bears things as well. But I think, you know, Packers still probably got the best coach in that division. So I don't mind the Packers.
You know what? I'm going to throw straight to another clip because we've got insights this time. It's market insights, but plenty of thoughts on this division as well and the favourites.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan here from Top Sport, and we've got the NFL on the horizon. It's almost here. Friday is the first game between Detroit and Kansas, where there's been a lot of talk about the season kicking off, and Detroit have been one of the best back teams in the preseason. So it'll be good to see how they go against, obviously, the Super Bowl champs. We've got a stack of options there already where people put their requests in for the custom multis. I'm going to price them up shortly. Make sure you've got them in over the next day or so, and then I'll have them all priced up by Wednesday in advance of the season kicking off on Friday. As I said, Detroit's been the best back team in the off-season, where they've been well back to win the NFC and also their division, the NFC North. So, you know, they've obviously got a young side there with plenty of draft picks where people are expecting them to get to their prime. The biggest bet of $4,500 on Detroit to win the NFC at $11. So some punters very eager for that side. Just a few of the other options, the Jags, the Chargers, and the Philly Eagles have all been very, very well backed to win their division. So there's plenty of activity. I think this interest in this season is going to be massive, and I'm looking forward to getting it started. Make sure you check out all the options. We've got our usual array of markets, and we're going to be adding a few, you know, about halfway through the season, we've got a couple of things building away. So get your custom multis in, get involved in the season, and of course, gamble responsibly.
So custom multis, create your own combinations of basically all the different futures that you can pick. On Toppy, I've got one I'll share later in the show, as has Netty, and anyone can share their own in the Tripod group. And if you get it in, definitely by tomorrow night, Tristan will price it up. Probably Wednesday, give you a chance to get on before the season. Don't get caught unawares. The season does technically kick off Friday. I haven't said much kind of about the couple of teams that I like. I like a couple of smoky teams. If you go back to the NFC East, I actually like the Commanders, and I think it's about potentially the potential of the defense there, the talent that they have, the quarterback position, a bit of an unknown. And then in this division, I also like the outside of the Bears. I feel like it could really be a progression year for Justin Fields. They've traded for your man, DJ Moore. Again, starting to build up with draft picks, and I think this division is very open. I think there's holes to pick in each of them. But what do you make of those kind of roughies? Particularly, I'm interested how you see the Bears. Do you see them like any hope for a wild card spot?
I do. I really like them. Like, I've always been big hyped on Justin Fields. He was my favorite guy coming out of the draft that year, and super fun to watch. But they're still very young, and, you know, they've only just sort of figured out how to use Justin Fields, which is a massive positive for them. I still have a few issues with their defense. But DJ Moore, man, don't get me started on that. That still breaks my heart severely. But it would be good to see the Bears get up. I just think the Packers as a whole are just still a little bit too professional. Like, they've been through this before. Obviously, Jordan Love is a big question mark. And it could all just come toppling down like a house of cards, of course. But, yeah, I don't mind it. The Washington Commanders one, you are on your fucking own for that one. You can stay on that hill.
Fair enough. I'll share a couple more reasons about my tip later. But I've already told you those are a couple that are going to be involved. Let's move to the NFC West. San Francisco, one of the big favorites in the NFC. Do you think they take this division out easily enough?
I don't know about easily enough. Like, Seattle sort of surprised a lot of people last year, and there's just something about Seattle that they just seem to play San Francisco tough and San Francisco struggle against them and all those sorts of things. I still, again, just look at San Fran. They're just one of the top three coaches in the NFL by far. They're just such a well-built roster and everything they have, but they just cannot seem to stay healthy. Like, they're a whole get off the bus type of team. You look at them, you just go, holy shit, look at that stud. Holy shit, look at that stud. But they just can't stay healthy. And you just see them just completely blow through quarterbacks in the playoffs there as well. So we're going to have to see with Brock Purdy. I did really like the signing of Sam Darnold as well, because to get the ball out quick, hit the guys, and then the yak, that is perfect for Sam Darnold. You don't need to think, just get it out. So again, really well built, probably one of the best rosters in the league. It's honestly, obviously, between the top two teams there. I'd still side with San Fran just because how I feel about Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, that San Fran team was just kind of scary last year. Went on a tear, but ultimately just quarterback injury after quarterback injury got them, especially in the title game. They created a new
rule for them.
That's right. Because they only had one backup QB activated and they were both out. And then Christian McCaffrey was going to wear the quarterback headset. Yeah. They ended up going with I think whoever the backup or was Purdy out there, but he was just handing off. Like they didn't have anyone that could throw the ball.
He was out and then he came back in and I think he tried to throw one pass and they're just like, yeah, don't worry about it. So it was just hand the ball off.
And I mean, Philly was such a juggernaut too and deserved to make the Super Bowl. But if San Fran hadn't sustained those injuries, you know, maybe it's Garoppolo. I know they actually started the season with Trey Lance no longer on the roster, but that's a whole nother podcast. But certainly, like, that's the position. If you get elite play from that position, I don't think any team is as good as the 49ers. No. We both love Kyle Shanahan. Let's move to the last division in the NFC then. And there's another interesting one. Tom Brady's officially retired, at least for now. So Tampa Bay are outsiders here. The Saints, your beloved Saints, are the favorites. And, of course, I'm only joking because you should be able to be tipped off from what's all the jerseys behind Nettie. He's a diehard Panthers fan, if you didn't know, and they're also in this division. I'm very interested in how you see them with the number one draft pick, Bryce Young. But I know there's another team in this division that you quite highly fancy as well.
Yeah, so this is the future that I've gone the hardest on for a lot of reasons here. I've gone to win the NFC South, Atlanta Falcons. I've gone Falcons over 8.5 wins, and I've got Falcons to make the playoffs. So last year, the Falcons, ignored by many. I think I even said on one of the future ones that they could possibly have the worst record in the NFL. And of the 17 games that they played last season, they were within one score in 15 of the 17 games. The only other teams that were that close with that were the Chiefs and the Bills. So you have a look at how competitive they were as well. They shouldn't have been that competitive. They won 7 games. They had $84 million dead cap. 42% of their salary cap was positioned to players that aren't even on the roster. Cheapest defense in the NFL, third cheapest offense. And they had the league's worst quarterback accuracy metrics. So ranked 45th was Mariota and 46th was Ritter, but they were still in 15 games. And when you have a look at the other teams in the NFL that had that metric as well, bad quarterback accuracy. The other two teams are the Bears and the Texans, who were 1 and 2 picks in the draft until they traded out. Defense allowed a third down conversions, but they were still in 15 or 17 games. They were -4 in turnover margin. Only 7 teams were worse. -16 sack margin, only 3 teams worse. But again, in 15 of 17 games. These guys are well coached. They've gone out on the offseason. They've loaded up Calais Campbell, David Omunata. Bud Dupree, Jesse Bates, Jeff Okuda, they've loaded up. And a lot of people are saying, why not the Saints? Well, the Saints, but their trenches suck. They have been slowly declining. And I do not believe Derek Carr, who is going on to another offensive system, is going to flourish there. Atlanta Falcons are my smoky for that division.
And one of the highest, most highly drafted, one of the highest draft picks spent on a running back in many years, Robinson, right? So he's going to be one to watch. What do you make of him? And I will throw it back to you as well, because I want to know how bullish you are on your own Panthers and another, you know, led by another really high pick, in fact, the top pick.
For the Panthers, so even just seeing Bryce, like he looks extremely comfortable. He's everything that is advertised for that throughout the whole preseason. Doesn't have happy feet. He's obviously making all the right reads, and it's pretty impressive. Like, you'll see some of the other ones, like Stroud and Richardson, they make those boneheaded mistakes. So he's looked very comfortable. But that offense, those wide receivers are so slow. The offensive line's been a disappointment, although it finished the season pretty good last year. I think we'll be good, but it's still just early days. And my concern, I don't want to go on the whole Bryce thing again, is that once the knowledge of Stroud and Richardson catches up, I still like their athleticism and their elite abilities. Like, Bryce has looked awesome, but again, if those guys catch up, I don't know. Dang it. It wouldn't have been my pick. It wouldn't have been my pick. But I'll eat my words.
You've got to be really fired up about the Falcons. I feel like you make a really strong case there. Their over-under is 8.5 team wins, and they are right around 50-50 make or miss the playoffs. So if you kind of like Nettie's line of thinking, you know, that's a pretty good double-up type leg to put into, let's say, a multi or just to make that, you know, team to ride. I will get your thoughts on Robinson as well because he's going to factor in. I think he's the strong favorite for offensive rookie of the year. We've already covered half the league. Let's zip straight over to the AFC. And again, we'll see where the graphic takes us. No, that's a double up. And then that's Super Bowl. Let's see.
Where are we going, mate?
And I feel like some stuff's missing. So since we're halfway, why don't we try and do a little bit of player prop? That's as good a place as any. Defensive player of the year. Maddie's already tipped Parsons at 7. But how about you give your read on this market and then lead us into any other player awards markets while I find the AFC graphics?
No, I definitely like that one that Maddie was saying. And I feel like even with Myles Garrett, like people are getting over the fact that he almost crushed someone's skull with a helmet. So that's not too bad. And TJ Watt back in there as well. I think the Steelers have a bit more of a bounce back year. So I enjoy that. But again, it's very hard for me to argue with Maddie's logic on Micah Parsons. He was getting so much notoriety last year, a lot of steam behind him. And again, if the Dallas Cowboys are what we're sort of expecting them to be, I think that's going to sort of help his narrative a lot more there too.
Which other player awards have you had a bet on or are you liking the look of?
For me, so I've got offensive rookie of the year and it's pretty chalk in this one. Of course, I went in Bijan Robinson. Again, I'm very high on the Falcons, but you have a look last year, number one in rush yards, number one in yards per carry, number one in rushing first downs, number two in EPP per rush, and number three in success rate. And they had three running backs ranked top 20 in efficiency. They add Bijan Robinson, who is an absolute fucking stud. I can tell you this right now. They were the only team in the league to run the ball over half of their players last season, including 48.8% of those runs being while they were losing. They do not care if they're losing. They'll still run the ball. Arthur Smith feeds his guys, and I think we're going to see Bijan do what he can do. You see his first carry in the preseason. Like, he just bounces and moves, and it's just... it's silk, man. It's absolutely silky smooth. So I'm big on him. And I've also gone chalk on the defensive side of the ball as well for the bloke from Houston, Will Anderson. Again, chalk. But when you got D'Amico Ryans in there, who came across from the San Francisco 49ers, he was the one that helped Nick Bosa get into the league and get him going as well. I think they're going to be much improved on defense. They're going to have a lot of opportunity to be out on defense. And Will Anderson is a very good player as well. You stack him on that line. That defensive line did relatively good with getting sacks last year. I think they're going to shift the coverage the other way. And we're going to see him get some nasty sacks.
If you've got any angles on, say, the rushing title, receiving, passing yards, you can get those ready in the chamber. I've actually got a tip fired in from the Podonis and on the market that's on screen, which is Offensive Rookie of the Year. So you said, you know, the favorite, Bijan Robinson, 330. I think Podonis likes a longer shot in this field. So let's have a listen.
Evening all, Podonis here, putting the overtime for the boys. And as they say, value never sleeps. Now, I don't quite have a team's future play like we did with Philly to win the NFC last season, but there are two bets I'd like to share. The first being Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's Anthony Richardson at $9.25 on Sportsbet. I feel it's a great price on someone who's got pretty good upside. His counting stats are going to be there because he's mobile, he's big, he's athletic, he's powerful. So Indy don't even have to be that good for him to rack up some stats and be in the conversation throughout the year. I feel his biggest competitor, Bijan Robinson, it's been 5 years since the running back last won the award, and Atlanta have enough receiving weapons to take some limelight and spotlight away from him. So at $9 for Richardson, that's the only way I could look. And my second bet at a nice juicy $34 is Lamar Jackson to have the most passing touchdowns. That's available on Bet365. Simply put, with the new OC and Todd Monken, Baltimore going to open this thing right up. They're going to let Lamar throw it. I think the market still underrates him as a passer. He's a pretty damn good one at that. And his recent injury history is probably playing into this line a bit. He won this award back in 2020 with 36 passing touchdowns and something similar. We'll see him go pretty close. So just to sign off, I'd like to say thanks to all the Tripod community for supporting me. Looking forward to engaging with you all in the group. If you're interested in any more of my content, follow me at Matteo Podonis or sidelinesharp.com. And to quote a legend, Lego.
Thanks very much, Podonis. Neddy, did you have anything else to follow up on that, like on the yards titles?
Yes, I do. And a couple of things I saw. Alex, you posted in there that I look like an office worker. I actually had to go into the city today. I'm at like a leadership conference thing all week, so that's why I look $1 million, even though I stand out like a fucking sore thumb in there. But yes, to echo like to what Podonis was saying there, I've actually played and put this out of the group. Zay Flowers, most rookie receiving yards and Bet365 for $5.50. One thing you cannot hide in preseason, right? So a lot of teams come out, they will hide their personnel, like the people rather, they will hide their players. But one thing they do not hide is the personnel packages. So last year, the Ravens used 11 personnel at the lowest rate of any team in a decade, 9.8%. This preseason, they're at 64% under new OC Todd Monken. That's without Odell. That's without Bateman's taking a single snap. And they're passing it at 75% of dropbacks. For context, NFL average last year was 63%. So we're going to see the Ravens obviously pass a lot more this year. So we've got other rookie receivers that were taken. We're having a look. There's the Chargers, the Vikings, the Seahawks all took one as well. JXN, he's banged up to start the year. Seahawks used 11 personnel, way below average. We've got Quentin Johnson, isn't going to be a feature wideout with the Chargers, with Mike Williams there and Keenan Allen, unless one of them gets hurt. And with Keenan Allen, he's probably hurt now for all I fucking know. So that leaves Addison with Minnesota. He deserves to be the favorite, but I believe that Zay Flowers is going to be right up there with him, and he is a stud. Anyone who gets signed off by Steve Smith, they're it, baby. I can tell you that.
And since you talked a bit about how the Ravens might play this year and I finally got my AFC division graphics up, we'll start in the North. And this is a pretty wide open division as well. All four teams have playoff hopes and are going to be very competitive, I believe. How do you see it?
Yeah, man, it's a brutal run. It is to me. I'm very excited to see what the Ravens can do. And I know sometimes every now and again people get a little bit, I don't want to say it, but everyone gets a bit funny and thinks that all Lamar can do is run. He doesn't. I agree with Podonis. He's an excellent passer. There is underrated passer. Cincinnati Bengals, like Anarumu, that defensive coordinator, man, they just have something. They're just so smart. I still sit there from time to time, and I think that, you know, Taylor, their head coach, I just assume he's going to run them into the ground, but Joe Burrow is that good. I do believe it's obviously within these two teams. Now that Lamar's a bit more signed off, he's a lot more happy. Maybe he's going to be a bit, little bit more willing to play. And it's going to be hard for teams to adjust, man. Like if Baltimore go from doing as run heavy as what they are and so much misdirection and so many counters and so much RPOs and all that sort of stuff to heavy passing and then opens the field up and allows Lamar to run, that's going to be very hard to defend. So for me, I have a soft spot for the Ravens, so I'd take the Ravens there. I also think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to overexceed a little bit too. Like, Mike Tomlin's a good coach, man. And Kenny Pickett, from what we've seen, these guys make this jump in the second year. What if Kenny Pickett makes that jump? What if he's far better than what we sort of think he is? Does he have those elite traits? Maybe not. But if he has that experience and that touch and he starts getting the ball downfield a little bit more, a little bit cleaner, I've taken a sneaky pick for Mike Tomlin as coach of the year. So if we start to see them tip over and maybe get into that 10 wins a season, I think there's a good chance that he could take that one away. But yeah, for me, Ravens on this one.
I mean, everyone is hyped by the Lions, and I think quoting that they went 7-2 their last 9, but so did the Steelers. So they could almost be a little under the radar. But there's one team that has to be, by definition, under the radar because you didn't even give them a mention. And I feel like they're a bit of a mystery box, the Cleveland Browns, because they're another side that's a pretty solid roster with a big question mark over quarterback play. So how do you see the Browns?
I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be a happy ending.
You don't think Watson, you know, will be relaxed enough in the pocket?
Nah, I don't know. Even from what we saw, like, fair enough, he got a couple of games under his belt last year, but geez, it was painful to watch, man. It was really painful to watch. And he should be better prepared this year. It should go a little bit more, I don't know, in their favor. But honestly, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a weakness of mine. I just skipped over him for it. But yeah, that's a tough division. I think there's a lot more well-equipped people within that division to handle them at the moment.
Let's slide over to The East, this is another really interesting division where like all four sides are worth a mention. The Bills, who were, I think they were preseason favorites a year ago, had a tough year last year, number of incidents that ultimately probably led to their downfall in the playoffs. Nevertheless, they're still the nearly odds-on favorite, or close to $2, $2.20 to win the East, in a division where the New York Jets, of course, signed Aaron Rodgers, the Dolphins were a playoff team last year, and then the Patriots has like been a dynasty for, you know, over 20 years. They're $9, and many people would say they're not without hope either. What do you think?
This fucking division is a juggernaut, man, and that I still believe heavily, and I think, you know, the loss of Daboll weighs very heavy on the shoulders of the Buffalo Bills fans, all right? They need to get over the hump and get themselves into the number one seed in the AFC. Like, that conference game needs to be played up there in Buffalo for them to be able to get to the Super Bowl. These meaningless games that they dropped here, there, and everywhere that slots them out of position is honestly what's killing them at the moment. There is a hell of a lot of hype, obviously, on the Jets. We, of course, see Hard Knocks, and all those other things coming through at the moment. Now, I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on. I don't like it. But sometimes you got to put it on because it's fun and whatever. Let's get a little bit weird. So the Jets have the longest playoff drought in 12 seasons, right? And that is solely because they've always generally had a pretty good defense. And you have a look through their quarterbacks, Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, Sam Darnold, Luke Falk, Trevor Siemian, Josh McCown, Bryce Petty, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Michael Vick, Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez. They've always had a good defense. But over those last 10 years where they've always had a good defense, they rank number 32 in EPA per play, number 32 in success rate, number 32 in yards per play. So they've gone out and they've gone and got the boat. Awesome. You know how I feel about the boat. But tinfoil hat on. They've got a massive leg up by the NFL. So through weeks 1 through 9, the Jets only play outside of their stadium twice. They have the best rest advantage in the NFL this season. They have 12 more days rest than their opponents. They have the best rest advantage for the Jets in franchise history. They get a bye week ahead of playing the Giants in week 8. And lucky for them, that away game is at the New York Giants Stadium, which is, of course, their home ground as well. October 5th to November 12th, they don't leave New York at all. They also have advantages in key divisional matchups later on in the season. So all interdivisional games, we know how important that is and how fucking you're going to win them to make it to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. They do not have a single rest disadvantage anytime they play any of their opponents. So in week 11, the Jets play the Bills. The Bills have a Monday night game the week prior in Denver, high altitude, fatigue, etc. Week 15, the Jets take on the Dolphins. Again, the Dolphins play then Monday night before, less rest again. Week 18, the Jets play the Patriots. The Jets play the Thursday night game the week before, so they get 3 more days rest. And then in week 12, the NFL is doing its Black Friday game, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving where they play the 3 games. And what else can they do to get Aaron Rodgers in prime time in New York? They're going to fly Miami up, short rest, away game, up to take them on in New York. So 4 divisional games later in the season, all 4 of their opponents are disadvantaged. They're the only team in the NFL to play 4 games with a rest advantage from week 11 onwards. 14 other teams either have 0 or 1 game rest edge. The Jets have 4. Take your tinfoil hat off. I don't think the Jets are going to get there. I love Aaron Rodgers. I really do. But I still think at this point in his career, he is just getting a little bit too not as aggressive. You see it whenever he went to the playoffs. Everything's just safe. You need to take those chances. I still believe in the Bills. I still like Miami. I think Miami's very sneaky as well. I just do not think we're going to get the success from the Jets that everyone's really expecting. But I could be wrong, because Aaron Rodgers is the kind of hell no, no fury like Aaron Rodgers scorn. And to take $30 million less money or whatever just to play New York Jets, he could come out and he might play aggressive and he might surprise me. But I've still got the soft spot for the Bills, but that window's closing. They're going to have to start paying everyone very soon. I think Josh Allen's contract's kicking in next year. But to me, Bills.
I still like the Bills in the AFC. And when I looked at this division, my observation it was simply that I think Patriots to miss the playoffs at $1.33 is like a pretty sound leg that you could build into a multi, because, yeah, I think they're the 4th best team. You made a better case for all the other rivals. They've kind of, I feel like their time may have come and gone. A lot of talent in the AFC East. You know, we've done the AFC North, but I want to talk about another division with a lot of talent, the AFC West, where we do have the defending champion, Super Bowl champion Chiefs, $1.60 favorites. But interesting sides in there as well. A team that, well, why don't we just admit it? We back to win the Super Bowl at 26-1. Yeah, the Chargers are the second favorite in that division. Which side do you want to talk about first?
I mean, it's the Chiefs' one to lose. They've got some offensive linemen, new additions in there. That's probably they're going to do what the Chiefs do. They're going to start a little bit slow, of course, while they get acclimatized to that. And this is the time that the Chargers have to fucking pounce. They annoyed the piss out of me last year. But I really like the addition of Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. They're going to push the ball downfield. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to attack. And that's what they need to do with Justin Herbert. He's a very good long ball thrower. Lombardi, their old offensive coordinator, everything was short, everything was dump offs, everything was quick, and that's just not suited for him, man. Get the big man out, get him throwing deep, get them throwing aggressive. As long as they can stay healthy, Keenan Allen doesn't happen, Mike Williams doesn't happen, Eckler, who knows, maybe they will stay healthy. As long as Staley stays out of the fucking way, this team can attack. Anytime they play the Chiefs, they play them hard. Have a look at the stats every time Kelsey's up against Derwin James, he locks him down. This team has everything that they need to be able to win a Super Bowl so long as they don't fucking get in their own way. I said it last year. I'm going to say it this year. I really enjoy watching them play, and I cannot wait to see Kellen Moore, see what he does. You remember there was a – I can't remember what game it was last year, but, again, the Chargers attacked short, and then there was, I think, the opening two drives, they just had Justin Herbert just airing down the field, and they just jumped on their opponent 14-0 straight out of the gates. And it was great. You're like, this is what Chargers football should be. And then they just turned into their old simple self, and that was it. Bring it back in. But yeah, I like the Chargers here. I love Herb, but it's always the Chiefs.
And what about the, you've got a new quarterback in Las Vegas, you've got a new coach in Denver. Are either of those sides, you know, playoff wildcard threats? Probably not the Raiders, but you could talk about how bad do you think the Raiders are going to be? Because I've seen a lot of people are liking unders for Raiders wins. In fact, that's one of your legs. So talk about the Raiders and why you don't rate them, and also just any opinion on Denver.
With the Raiders as a whole, so what Josh McDaniels actually likes to do, he likes to attack deep. He has the long ball in his arsenal there. Jimmy Garoppolo is actually one of the worst long ball specialists in the NFL. So if Josh McDaniels is looking to do that, looking to go downfield, I think it's just going to be a fucking disaster. I think that team is spiraling. Everywhere Josh McDaniels goes, he rips it to pieces, then he leaves town. And I think this is his last season there. I don't think he's going to stick around too much longer after that. With Denver, Sean Payton, it's great. He comes in, he's making everyone accountable. He's stopping Russ from living on the penthouse level and doing all this weird shit, which is great, for the culture, for the team as well. Offensive line, yes, it needs time to soothe in and all that sort of stuff, but they were fucking disastrous throughout the preseason. That's going to be my concern. Like Russ is good at not making the mistakes, but sometimes it's the same thing. He's a bit too careful. He'll run back. He was running himself into sacks and into that problem there. Defense, outstanding. Of course, they lost their DC because he came over to the Panthers. I think they were averaging, what was it, only 17 points scored against them per game last year, but the Broncos couldn't even score 18. It was that bad. Will it be better? I don't know. I don't believe so. I think Russ is beyond repair, personally. And I think next season, Russ won't be there, but Sean Payton will. I believe it's still the two top two dogs, Chiefs and the Chargers in that one.
Yeah, Russ Wilson traded for, they gave up a lot of assets. He's on a massive deal, but he really seemed to fall off a cliff. And you talk about running himself into sacks and, you know, not aggressive at all in the shots he wants to take down the field, but also he doesn't have his escapability anymore. It doesn't have that spring in his step, which used to be what made him so elite. So then if he's not a threat that department, my question is, you know, does a offensive minded coach like Payton unlock him again? Because it was a bit of a disaster last year under Hackett. So the question is, what difference can a coach make? But you made the point there, it hasn't looked good so far in the preseason. That leaves us, I believe we've just got one more division to tackle, which would be the AFC South. And unlike the previous three, you'd say this is probably the least fancy division. But the Jags got a playoff win last year. They're $1.57. I rate the Jags for what it's worth, and I will tie them into my combination multi. Why don't you lead us off with what you think of Jacksonville? Are they going to win this? I'll let you answer it. But again, I think you like the second favorite, right?
Yeah, everyone's pretty heavy on the Jags. Everyone's excited for them. They were the second most healthy team in the NFL last year from being the fifth most injured the year before. But mostly where they need the improvement is on defense. So they were the 27th ranked defense last year despite playing the third easiest schedule of opposing offenses. Anytime they come up against an above average offense, Philly lost, Giants lost, Detroit lost, KC lost, Dallas they won. Baltimore, they won, but they were trailing the Ravens 19-10 and then 27-20 before scoring with 14 seconds left, going for two and winning that one. So, okay, yeah, fuck, whatever. We'll give them that one. Dallas, they were trailing 27-10. They ended up pulling it back, and then the final play of regulation, I think they returned an interception for a touchdown overtime, whatever. But they were still averaging 31 points scored against them in these games, and they trailed in halftime 5-6. That was just too much. And they're going to have a first-place schedule where their unique opponents this year are going to be the Chiefs, Bills, and 49ers. That is brutal. Yeah, have a look at the Titans, man. And the Titans annoy the absolute fucking piss out of me because they just... I've won random stupid money on them, and I've lost random stupid money on them. They just do not die. They don't go down. And they were the first team to really have the Chiefs' number. Like, I think they would have been 3-1 against Mahomes last season, but they ended up losing that game. And this was a game that they were winning, right? The Chiefs were a 14-point favorite. Malik Willis went 5 of 16 for 80 yards, but they were still winning 17-9 with 3 minutes left. They had 12-12 as underdogs straight up, and they're the games that they're meant to lose. This year, they have the ninth easiest schedule, the fourth best rest advantage. They don't play a single opponent coming off a bye, mini bye, none of that sort of stuff. They finished 5-6 in one score games last season. They were the third most injured team last season. Tannehill only started 12 of 17 games. Willis sucked. Romeo Doubs, they brought in, he hasn't played in the NFL since 2020. Started two games after joining the roster. If all games finished after the third quarter, this is a weird stat, whatever. If they all games finished after the third quarter last season, instead of going four quarters, the Titans would have had an 11-4 record. It's just that in the fourth quarter, they had a minus 54-point margin, which is historically bad. I don't expect it to be that bad. And when you think back to it, right, they were still playing to get into the playoffs in week 18. So they had Josh Dobbs, again, literally off the street 2 weeks earlier. Dennis Daly, left tackle, backup. Aaron Brewer, left guard. He was a starter. Corey Levin, center, backup. Right guard was a backup, Jordan Ruse. And Nicholas Petit-Fieri, he was their right tackle plan as well. All that shit offense, but they still outgained Jacksonville 312 yards to 222. They had more first downs. They had more penalties conceded. And the Jags only scored 13 points through 56 minutes. All Josh Dobbs had to do was get a completion or take a sack, but he fumbled. The Jaguars ended up winning that game. I believe in the Tennessee Titans this year. I think they bounce back. Vrabel is an absolute beast. You can't explain it. It's just what happens. I just don't think the Jags have made enough moves on defense this year to jump that hurdle.
I forgot how lucky Jacksonville was to make the playoffs, because once the Titans were down to like their third string QB, everyone assumed the Jags would win that. That was like a play-in game. And then you talked about the comebacks for the Jags. You got me a little bit nervous, because I'm about to make the case for Jacksonville. But you didn't even mention the playoff game too. What was that score? Like
the Chargers
like
won.
31-6. Like they were down three or four touchdowns. And they won that as well. So maybe they like fortune smiled on them. But I just feel like it's a team that's built through the draft and has talent. And you talk about the importance of coaching, and no doubt Vrabel is one of the best in the competition, but I feel like there's an advantage just being another year removed from toxic coaching. As much as he used to really love the grind, it's another year removed from Urban Meyer. And it's in the comments there too. Hamish says the Jags are the real deal. T-Law, elite, got the weapons. And Luke says Lawrence for MVP as a smoky. Hamish agrees. Matty O'Keefe says it reminds us 27-0 the Jags trailed, which again says a bit about the Chargers too. So I'm going to put up my custom multi and then we'll do your one next, Nettie. So let's go back. So it's a bit creative here. And sorry, I feel like the enter key has disappeared out of the comments. So hopefully you can read it with me. My regular season multi is Bears or Commanders make the playoffs. I've got two longest shots in the NFC, but the beauty is with obviously seven playoff spots, three wild cards, and you kind of, if one doesn't, it's even better chance the other could. So again, I don't think either of these teams are highly favored. I just think there's a bit of upside with the Bears. We talked about Fields, the Commanders. I think their defense, although Nettie does not agree with me. Jags over 9.5 wins. That's a slight favorite in the marketplace. And we've just discussed why I really am bullish on Jacksonville. And again, it's about the division, I think, being quite manageable. And I'm going to go Ravens. And again, I think I'm going against the grain here because I think that it's a team with a lot to like about. But I feel like we've kind of seen a lot of what the Ravens are capable of. We've seen them win 9-10 games season after season. I'm going to actually buck them. And part of the reason is because I think the AFC North is so strong and wins will be hard to come by in that division. You know, Lamar's been paid. I just wonder, is Tucker going to have a drop-off season at some point? Because I feel Justin like they were Tucker. So reliant on it. Well, they just feel like he's going to have a sore back. This team has relied on him so much. I don't know. I'm not buying the OBJ trades. I'm just like questioning skill positions, players there. So that's the longer shot leg in my multi would be Ravens under 9.5 wins because they're very much juiced over the 9.5. But it's $10 shot all in all. Keep you interested. And a few teams involved, but again, one of the selections is an or. So it's a Bears or Commanders to have a good year and maybe grab a wild card spot. So you can have 50 on that to turn into 500 if you like it. Nettie, why don't we do yours? It might be hard to read. I don't know if you've got yours in front of you. Otherwise, I can put it on the screen.
Yeah, I don't got it. Comments. If you
read it. Yeah, well, you can refer to your notes or, yes, certainly share it out.
Okay, so for my season long multi, I've got Cards under 4.5 wins, Raiders under 6.5 wins, Texans under 6.5 wins, Falcons to make the playoffs, and Titans to make the playoffs. So you would have sort of gathered from all the things that I said before that comes in at a juicy $26. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll be riding that one with me as well. Fun little stat on the Ravens I heard the other day. Mark Andrews, I think it was three, only did 3 pass blocks last year. Amazing. Every other time he was running a route. Fucking madness. But yeah, so they're my futures that I sort of like the most. If you sort of follow me on the tripod page, you'll see everything else that I post. But they're the ones that I feel like we can attack the best, group them together. $26, why not?
I feel like you discussed each of those teams, except I can't recall what you said about the Texans. Just any kind of particular reason you're not high on them. Obviously, they had the worst record in the league. Up until Lovie Smith worked his magic and they got a comeback win in the final game of the season, which meant they dropped to the second pick and handed the first pick to the Colts in their division. Yeah. Was that right? And then the Colts traded out of it, so got assets.
No. They dropped the second from the Bears,
Sorry, what I was thinking, they lost to the Colts. And then there was speculation the Colts could have actually ended up with the first pick. But they lost to the Colts and in doing so had to settle for CJ Stroud. So just maybe a word on Houston.
Yeah, that's actually going to be a weird sliding doors moment because later on, like if Bryce Young ends up being crap, then I'm just going to fucking eat my foot. But no, the Texans, I still just think it's a young thing. I always get extremely concerned whenever a good rookie quarterback, because I think highly of Stroud, comes in as a defensive-minded head coach. It always makes me a bit nervous. Again, it's a little bit tough. The AFC is still a bit of a juggernaut. So I think just 6.5, it's a pretty big leap. I think they're going to be in some ugly games. And Stroud's still got obviously a lot of growing to do in himself. Like one of his elite abilities is his ball placement, whatever, but the reading isn't quite there. So that was my concern on that one.
Barney says you're in form after last season. Remind me, do you remember last season? What odds was your combo multi that hit?
$18, I think it was. The season-long one? Yeah, $18. Yeah.
And people can submit their own. As I said before, you've still got a good 24 hours. Depending when you listen to this, but try and get them in by Tuesday night. If you get it in Wednesday, you still might be all right. We'll do we'll move to the overarching markets then. We'll talk a bit of, I might put the Super Bowl markets up, but, if you like any value for a team to win their conference or Super Bowl, I will probably press you just for a pick. As well, who do you think will be playing in February as I find that market? What do you think?
I think for me, and again, it's a weird one to say, like the AFC is just a fucking murderer's row, man. Like those guys are just going to belt the absolute piss out of each other. And when you just have a look at how heavily stacked the good quarterbacks are, it is just all AFC, all AFC, all AFC. So sometimes it's better to look at some of the easier markets on it. Like I like things for MVP, like, and I don't know if you want to jump to this now, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like things like Dak Prescott. So they're usually the quarterback on the winningest team. Like if you can run through the NFC, like there's only those couple of good quarterbacks in there. So again, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, etc. I think those guys are going to be up there towards the end. I'd be looking towards maybe like a Dak Prescott as a smoke one, or even the best record in the NFL. I think something like a Dallas or something like that is actually probably good value to jump on there. But the other ones.
What odds are we seeing for Dak? He doesn't even find himself on the first page, so probably must be in the 20s. Yeah.
I thought I had it here. I posted it in the group the other day. Just somebody asked the question. I put it in there that I really liked it. Sorry, I'm going to have to do a bit more digging, but no, he is in there. How about you talk and I'll have a look?
Yeah, I mean, the one I look at is Jalen Hurts, where he probably would have won it last year if he didn't get hurt. Obviously, he nearly was the Super Bowl MVP on a losing side. You know that Philly's going to win a lot of games, and Hurts racks up the stats with his arm and legs and does it really efficiently. I picked Josh Allen last year, and I can't really see why he wouldn't be right in the mix again this year. So those are probably the two I look at. But I do think Dak Prescott, he had quite a rough year last year, but
he's got Dallas should win a lot of games. Way, eh?
Yes, he threw a lot of – I think he's been throwing interceptions in the preseason and at practice, but if he can clean that up, I think he's got a high upside. And we've heard people say Trevor Lawrence as well. Did you find Dak? He must be able to get him in the 20s.
I can have a look. Here we go. Sorry, I got a bit caught up there. So Dak is sitting around $17, and that's just on Sportsbet because I couldn't see it quickly enough on anything else.
Yep. Okay. So shop around. I mean, doesn't appear on the first page of betting on Toppy. So that kind of long shot anyway. Pretty fun to jump on somebody like that. And the beauty of Dak would be, if we follow Undertaker's line of thinking, that Dallas has got a very manageable schedule first kind of month, 2 months.
Dak's $21.
There you go. Yeah, so that's what we're thinking. So getting into the 20s, and it's a narrative award too, and getting a strong start, then that puts you in the discussion. So
yeah.
I think that does sound like a good value proposition.
If you wanted to look through the AFC, again, for me, Herbert, because we're sort of relying on the fact that they'd have to topple the Kansas City Chiefs, right? That's who they're going to have to be. And you look at, he is just a fucking stats king at the moment. Like, he's still pumping out 5,000-yard seasons every year. And now this year, they're talking about actually wanting to pass more and wanting to pass more downfield. He's athletic enough as well that you're going to see those crazy passes and all those things that you can add to the highlight reel, add to the narrative, and then push that out towards the media. So, again, just a fanboy for Herb.
Yeah, Chargers are not on the first page of betting for the Super Bowl, but as I said, $26 we grabbed a couple of days ago, Nettie, and we were kind of thought for a long shot they'd be a fun one to ride. We did take them last year, probably similar odds, and they're a bit more hyped last year. I feel like they could improve this season, and I saw Alexi was in the chat before. His old college mate, Kellen Moore, has now moved across from Dallas to the Chargers. You know, could he be the difference there? You talk about... like Herbert, I feel like there's no excuse for him. He should be in the absolute prime of his career. But salary cap-wise, they're a team that reminds me a lot of the 2021 Rams. They're very much kind of an all-in. It's not going to get easier to win the Super Bowl moving forward. You talked about Keenan Allen, who's an exceptional route runner, but not getting any younger either. Neither's Eckler, you know. So I do feel like it is a bit now or never. You've got a juggernaut to deal with in your own division in the Chiefs, but the chalk doesn't always get up. We get surprises, and I feel like the Chargers have that upside. So I like taking them for the ultimate prize. What other futures haven't we touched on yet? Have you got anything else to share?
I don't think so, man. I think
so. You talked about every kind of awards play. I know we've jumped around a little bit. You've obviously just shared MVP and Super Bowl. So who actually meets in the Super Bowl for you then?
Gosh, fuck. I do believe that the Eagles get back, and I do believe that it is someone other than Kansas City. I think possibly the Bengals.
So talk about the Bengals versus the Bills then. You know, they had, well, that was the famous game last year as well that got abandoned. But they... trying to remember, they did meet in the playoffs, and the Bengals got the win in Buffalo.
And again, like, they just seem to have their number. Like, even the game that was called off, they're on their road to jump out big against them then. And then when they came out, and obviously the big DeMar Hamlin thing, and we can route, we can come back. It's just Joe Cool, man. Like, sometimes just things cannot be explained of how fucking silky smooth that guy is. And I just think they're just going to be a team that keeps hanging around and just keeps being aggressive and keeps going. Like, I don't know. I just have a feeling about, I guess, the Bengals sometimes. I haven't really spoken too much about them, I guess, in this whole podcast, but it might have just been because you put the thing up right in front of me and I just stared straight ahead and it said Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I think Burrow is that good as well and has the potential to get even better. And the weapons that he's got, you know, Higgins and Chase too, they're gonna score with anybody this year. Let us know in the comments who you're picking for the Super Bowl. If you want a full list of Nettie's tips preseason, because I'm sure, Nettie, you've probably given out some individual player props. You know, every single player, you can bet like over, under yards. Would there be a post or a couple of posts in the Tripod group that if people found Nettie's Nettie Given Sunday kind of futures, they'd find like a constantly updated list of what you've shared over the last few weeks?
Spot on, man. So yeah, exactly that. If you go into the Tripod forum, just put in Nettie Given Sunday and then you'll see this. So I've got two ones up here. I've already started the week one. I've got a couple of bets on there and I've got one that's futures and I will add to it before things kick off on Friday. So there will be some more long shot ones. Again, don't get silly with them like their futures. Your money's going to be tied up for a long time there. Like, I will post in comments things that maybe I like that I don't love, but generally the ones that are in the top there that I have written are the ones I do love. And like I said, you've got $5.50, you've got $5.20, you've got $4.30, you've got plenty of things there. The longer odds that I know you guys love. So there's plenty there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Longer odds. It makes sense when it is a long-term bet that it's going to be tight. You want to tie up minimal capital. So the longer shots are, and it's fun and you get good bang for your buck and something you can cheer on, you know, every Monday morning. Plus we've got games, obviously, Fridays in Australia, Tuesday mornings, and plus other ones, as you said, they're playing Friday. There'll be Saturday games. I just love it, the fact that it ties in so well with our NRL season and we get our footy action throughout the Aussie summer. Of course, people can also see your weekly preview where you're going to do game by game and what you're looking at that particular week. I know it's Sunday afternoon. Is there a specific time we can tell people? That's going to be live on Facebook.
Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock, baby. I'll be there every week. Rain, hail, COVID, shine, whatever it is, I'll be there.
Fantastic. And you're going to have a custom market as well. Think Toppy's going to be rolling out. Oh, maybe I don't want to spoil it. I don't like to promise. Let's under promise and over deliver. But we will at least do the 2 of 3 anytime touchdowns. So you might pick like 3 different players for an anytime touchdown. So if people are looking for some options for their own same gamers, and you'll just need to hit 2 out of 3 at some juicy odds to win. So again, another fun market you can get involved in, and that'll be created by Nettie thanks to Top Sport every week. Again, if you need a Toppy account, use the code TRIPOD. And that is also going to give you the opportunity to back both Nettie's 26-1 and my 10-1. That's going to do it for tonight, Ned. So thank you very much for joining me, making the time. Cannot wait. I'm so excited for the season and I'm going to enjoy, you know, touching base with you throughout the year and interacting with you and of course, tuning in every week to Nettie Given Sunday. You're mad if you follow the NFL and you're not following Nettie Given Sunday because you're going to learn so much more about the game and enjoy it even more. And back on an NRL front, of course, the NRL finals kick off this weekend. It's a mental time for sport. I mean, there's a Rugby World Cup. There's obviously AFL finals. There's a Basketball World Cup on at the moment. There's English football. It's all happening. So in terms of the NRL, I've actually got a double edition NRL pod. The game-by-game breakdowns with Clarkey at 6:30 and then a finals extravaganza at 7:30 with some special guests. And special markets too. But thank you to everyone who did tune in tonight, who loves their NFL. Enjoy the season, guys. Best of luck with your punts. Have a great week. Thanks again to Nettie. And as always, Lego.
Yeah, boys.